Welcome to Strategy Talk, where the editors and writers at strategypage.com discuss news as history and give you a unique view of the events around the world. I'm Dan Masterson, publisher of strategypage.com. We'll be talking to Jim Dunnigan, well-known military analyst, author, and editor of strategypage.com, and Austin Bay, author, columnist, and blogger. His blog can be found at austinbay.com. Jim and Austin are working on the fourth edition of A Quick and Dirty Guide to War that will be published shortly. Jim and Austin, let's get right into it. What are the historical ethnic tensions that have led up to today's tensions in Georgia?
Well, the Caucasus is a typical, you know, mountain type terrain where you have lots of valleys, pretty nice climate, fertile land, and you basically have the opportunity for lots of people to go into their own little valley and ignore everyone else. Similar situation in the Balkans, very similar situation in New Guinea, where about a quarter of the world's languages are. We're talking thousands of languages. Mainly because there are places where people can go off by themselves. Same thing in Afghanistan. I mean, you have valleys that are probably never seen, you know, people who have never seen a non-Afghan, or at least maybe not for many generations. When you have a situation like that, you have these people basically, you know, evolving over centuries in isolation. So in the Caucasus, which is also a bit of a choke point, you know, going from the Middle East up to, into the Great Eurasian Plains, so over thousands of years, people have gone through and said, hey, let's stop here. So you have dozens of different ethnicities, and left to their own devices, they won't bother anybody. They'll raid each other occasionally, maybe intermarry a little bit or steal women, as the case may be, but they won't be a bother. But when you form a country, then you have a problem. Georgia, for example, is largely comprised of Georgians, but when they were part of the Soviet Empire, the Russians, as is their wont, they would mix up some of the ethnicity. So basically they took part of Ossetia, what they call South Ossetia, and made it part of Georgia to keep the Ossetians under control. And they took the Abkhazians, who could also be a pain in the butt, a minority in that area along the coast, and they made them part of Georgia. But historically, Georgia was just the Georgians. And that's the big argument that the Ossetians and the Abkhazians have. Their argument, which has some legal weight, is that in 1991, when the Soviet Union dissolved, they were not consulted. If they wanted, yes, they wanted to separate from Russia, but no, they did not want to become part of Georgia, a different ethnic group, which they never really got along with because they talk funny. And that's a situation you have throughout the Caucasus. That is why just north of Georgia you have the Chechens, who are now quieted down for a moment. And you have, you go all the way up into southern Russia, you have this ancient ethnic animosity problem, which is the cause of, you know, the majority of the bloodshed, the large-scale bloodshed going on around the planet right now and probably, you know, into the dim past.
A lot of this isn't really new. Actually, a Sechen problem, Jim may get a chuckle out of what I'm about to say, is in part the result of the Mongols invading, and they drove the Sechens into the southern parts of the Caucasus mountains. So you had some northerners and some southerners, and Jim's described what the Soviet Union's process was in terms of dividing up the Ossetians to control them, but that's part of the grand ethnic mix. There have been outside invaders that drove people into the hills because the hills were a good place to hide out. Abkhazia, Jim said that the Abkhazians may have a legal basis for saying, you know, we shouldn't be part of Georgia because it was, as I recall, an autonomous region under the Soviet Union, and had some autonomy within Georgia after Georgian independence when the Soviet Union collapsed. But there is a tendency to say, all these people, they're not going to get along. Well, take a look at the part of Georgia where there are Armenians and Azeris, and that it tends to be, as I understand it, south of Tbilisi and to southeast into the southeast. And the Azeris and the Armenians fought a war with one another, but the Azeris and Armenians living in Georgia get along just fine. As Jim said, many of them, There's even a tendency over time to intermarry and certainly do business with one another.
But, well, a lot of it has to do with culture, too. I mean, the British recognized that during their colonial days. They basically categorized each ethnic group by its characteristics. The one thing that comes down to is what the British called the martial races. In other words, any group that made good soldiers. Some did, like the Gurkhas, which they're still using, and some basically said, never give these guys any guns. They won't know what to do with them. They'll point them in the wrong direction. I mean, this is just culture. There's nothing you can do about it. For example, there's been a Jewish community in Georgia for over 2,000 years. And they consider themselves Georgian. They get along. The Azeris, Turks, basically, they will get along. They'll make a deal. That's why they had an empire. Same thing with the Armenians. Although it's tragic, really, that the Turks and the Armenians came to blows over that bit of, that bunch of Armenians stuck in the middle of Azeri territory. But again, you make those little accidents of geography over the years, and you're going to pay for them down the road.
Nagorno-Karabakh, Jim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably going to blow up again because the Armenians have won, but it was a Pyrrhic victory. They ruined their economy in the process. The Turks naturally side with the Azeris. The Turks are considered, you know, the elder brother to all the new Turkic nations, you know, from Azeria, Azerbaijan, out through the Central Asia. Settling that's going to be very difficult because we're talking about real estate, and you know how people get about real estate.
Well,
right.
The Azeris also have some oil income, too, that the Armenians don't. But the Armenians...
Exactly. Yes, I mean, the Armenians ruined what economy they had, and the only thing that's really keeping them afloat is the Russians support them because, hey, we're both Christians. You know, all of a sudden, you know, the Russians have rediscovered religion. The Armenians are like the Basques, you know. They're of no discernible ethnic relationship to anybody. They basically were there before anybody else was. When the ice melted, there were Armenians and Basques.
Right.
The Armenians have a very, very supportive diaspora. Diaspora and Armenians provide a lot of money and a lot of cash, and as we know, the Armenian diaspora has been extremely successful in...
Yeah, it's the only thing keeping the country alive, because basically the economy went poof, as did most of the people who had any marketable skills.
Yeah, and
there's this migration of the young and educated, and it's really tragic, because you look at, you know, I've heard people in Armenia who've been there to visit Kin and what have you, and they say it's depressing, because there's nothing, not really much being invested there, it's just the homeland. So it's going to be interesting to see how that develops, because it's going nowhere right now.
Right.
Well, you know, we're pushing this a little bit further south and now west, but the Armenians have great disagreements with the Turks over exactly where the Armenian homeland ought to be. They claim Lake Van, which is in eastern Turkey now, but
that's true. But what people learn over the centuries is you don't get into an argument with the Turks. And every time something blows up with the Kurds, the Armenians, and all the other neighbors of the Turks, the Bulgarians, the Greeks, whatever, look at it and say, yes, let's send a nice Christmas card to the Turks this year.
Right.
They're not the kind of people you want to get in. And this is a real deal in that part of the world. For example, a few years ago, there was a beef between Turkey and Syria about turning over a Kurdish, one of the leaders of the PKK, who had fled to Syria.
Öcalan is who it was.
Yeah,
the
big leader. And so the Turks, they didn't start a big exchange of diplomatic notes. They moved two mechanized divisions to the Syrian border. Öcalan was delivered, you know, within days. People in that area, they understand the Turkish language to that extent. If the Turks moved a lot of troops in your direction, it's time for you to listen.
Thanks, Jim and Austin. Next time, we'll be discussing current happenings in Georgia.